Hello and welcome to I'll Look Into It with Tony Yang. Today we're discussing cults and how people enter into and are controlled within them. We're talking with Stephen Hassan. Stephen is a mental health professional who has been helping people leave destructive cults since 1976 after he was deprogrammed from Sungmyung Moon's Unification Church by his family. He directs the Freedom of Mind Resource Center, a counseling and publishing organization outside Boston. He teaches at Harvard Medical School and is pursuing a doctorate at Fielding University. He is also the author of four books, Combating Cult Mind Control, Releasing the Bonds, and Freedom of Mind, Helping Loved Ones Leave Controlling People, Cults and Beliefs, and his latest book, The Cult of Trump. Hassan was featured in Leah Remini's Scientology and the Aftermath and has appeared on CNN, NPR, 60 Minutes, Dateline, and more. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me on, Tony.
You know, tell us a little bit about your own story, both joining and leaving a cult.
Sure. So I was recruited at age 19 when I was an upper junior at Queens College back in 1974, way before the internet even was conceived of. My girlfriend had dumped me. Three women were on campus pretending to be students. They did what is later to come to be called love bombing, where they flatter somebody and they want to sit with me and I'm so smart and tell me all about you. And I was a sucker because my girlfriend had dumped me and these women were flirting with me and I had no clue because I accepted that, you know, that they were not lying to me. I had no exposure to cults prior to this. I thought of myself as a smart, you know, street savvy person raised in my father's hardware store. But that's a key point I want to share with your listeners is that people get deceived when they're recruited into cults, that people don't just say, I want to join a cult. I'm going to knowingly make an informed choice, right, and give away my freedom and allow myself to be exploited and sleep deprived and cut off from my family and friends.
Right.
And in my experience, I just did not understand what was happening to me. And I thought I was having ultimately a spiritual experience where God was summoning me to help save the world and to build a world of peace and joy and goodness where there's no poverty, no death, not death, no illness, no crime, or people would be brothers and sisters. And I came to believe that Sungmyung Moon was the Messiah, the greatest man in human history. And I got involved with essentially what turned into a right-wing fascist cult that thought that democracy was satanic and that we were going to take over the world and infiltrate the government. In fact, I had a 180-degree personality change as a cult member. I went from a very human rights poetry major, long-haired person to a right-wing fasting for Nixon to be president during Watergate because God wanted him to be president. And my family was horrified. They tried to talk to me. I was like fanatically convinced that I knew the truth, that they were being controlled by Satan. And it was after a near fatal van crash due to sleep exhaustion that I turned up in a hospital. And all those hours away from the cult, I reached out to my sister. And she said, I miss you. You have a nephew you haven't seen. You know, I want him to know his Uncle Stevie. Please come visit. And I made her promise not to tell my parents, who were deemed satanic because they said I was in a cult. So she convinced me. I went and visited. And she did tell my parents. And they did hire a team of ex-Moonies. And I did agree to talk with them after the first day because I so believed I wasn't brainwashed and I wanted to prove it to everybody. And I looked at it as a spiritual test, you know, of Satan. And I thought I was strong enough to, but when I learned about Chinese communist brainwashing techniques, it became very transparent that the Moonies were doing the same thing. And it just started a cascade of questions that I had always had, but I had suppressed. And at the point that I woke up, I thought, what happened to me? And I wanted to understand it. So I started reading every book I could find on psychology of persuasion and attitude change and brainwashing and social psychology. And I started reaching out to these former military intelligence folks who had studied Chinese brainwashing. And they encouraged me to study psychology because they said what they did to you and you did to other people is like a mutant hybrid of what we studied. It's so much more sophisticated. So I didn't believe it at the time, but here I am 44 years later, still talking about it and horrified that the planet is still ignorant about social psychology, social influence, and mind control.
You know, there's this sort of unique experience that you were recruited into a cult in college. Are there unique characteristics about the college experience that make individuals vulnerable? And what do cults all have in common to hold, you know, people in line?
Yeah, so, I mean, the reality is that we are growing up from childhood to adulthood, and part of the college experience, you know, typically 18 to 21, 22, people are finding themselves and trying to figure out what they believe and what they want to do with their lives. And so they're more open to other points of view. They're making new connections. They're being exposed to different ideas. So I'd say that cults want to recruit minors. They want to recruit. And when I say minors, the latest neuroscience shows that our frontal cortex of our brain, our analytic part of our brain, doesn't mature until we're 25. So it's not even 21. So that window, you know, up to 25, we're particularly vulnerable to artful and designing people who lie to us and who are applying a systematic social influence practice on us.
Let's talk a little bit about the BITE model that cults use to control members. We're talking behavior, information, thought, and emotion.
Sure. So that's a model that I put together based on the work of Robert Lifton, Margaret Singer, my studies of cognitive dissonance theory of Leon Festinger. And it just seemed to me that an easy way to understand how to influence human beings would be to parse it in terms of behavior control techniques. For example, sleep deprivation, rewards and punishments, making people wear a certain type of clothing, wear a certain kind of haircut, change their name, you know, regulate their behavior with the aim of being dependent and obedient, and threats of bad things happening to you if you're not obedient. And then thought control is black and white, all or nothing, good versus evil thinking, where people are trained to do thought-stopping techniques, to shut down any critical thoughts or doubts about the leader, the doctrine, or the group. Emotional control is fear and guilt, especially phobia indoctrination, irrational fears that terrible things are going to happen to you if you leave the group or are kicked out of the group. You might, and if it's a religious cult, you may go to hell forever. You know, you might go insane, you might commit suicide, whatever your deepest fears, they would use that to make you afraid. And then, of course, one of the most important things is information control. Indoctrinating people to tell on each other if they see somebody violating a rule, so that people feel like they have no privacy and they have no friendships. You know, the boundaries are erased. and beyond the spying, anything they find out about you, they use to manipulate you and control you. But most importantly, they don't want you to read negative information about the leader, the doctrine, or the group, or talk to ex-members. And that's a telltale sign of any authoritarian mind control cult that they say, and in the case of Donald Trump, anything negative is fake news, and anyone who speaks against me is an enemy of the people, as if he represented the people. And so it functions like a thought-stopping type of thing when people are told fake news, fake news, fake news, rather than, hey, you're an adult, you're in educated and intelligent, why don't you look at the facts and you decide for yourself what's true and what's not true. So I have this BITE model. It's on my website, freedomofmind.com. It's in all of my books. And I think it's absolutely vital that people understand that essentially humans are not rational. We like to think we're rational beings, but in fact, we have a lot of information coming at us all the time through our five senses. And consciously, we're aware of a small fraction of what's coming at us. And yet our brains are being assaulted by trillions of bits of information at any moment. And social psychology has made experiment after experiment demonstrating how much we are influenced by each other, how much we're influenced by words, and that the only real defense is knowledge and just acceptance of this is who we are as human beings. We're not perfect. We don't know everything. We should always have an attitude of using the scientific method of, hey, this is what you say, but let's look at the evidence and see if the evidence supports the hypothesis and be prepared to abandon the hypothesis if there's a better explanation for any particular phenomenon. So it's a humble attitude towards let's seek the truth versus what authoritarian cults say, which is we know the truth with a capital T, and it's this doctrine that we say it is, and there's no other interpretations and there's no other group that can offer salvation than ours.
You know, I wonder, how has social media either amplified the effects of cults or sort of this type of thinking or a thought environment that people enter into?
So the digital age has dramatically affected our brains and how our attention spans have gone down. People's reading skills have gone down. And their social aptitude of just being with other human beings and having free unstructured play and just like learning how to read social cues. So many young people are growing up on screens, and so they're lacking so much of what is healthy about the human experience and growing up and secure attachment. And essentially, my research has shown that intelligence agencies way back, we can go back to the early 1900s, and Edward Bernays, which I write about in The Cult of Trump, who wrote the classic 1928 book Propaganda. Intelligence agencies and others, marketers even of big companies, have wanted to know how to sell people products that they didn't even know existed and didn't have a need for, but all of a sudden they need it desperately because they can make more money at it. And this whole ideology of consumerism is going to make you happy, which consumerism doesn't make us happy in any real fulfilling way. But it's this influence. And when you ask the question, what about social media? It is steroids. You know, it's multiplying the effects of regular influence. And it's very worrisome unless we educate people how to discern what is truthful information from disinformation or propaganda? Because as I write in The Cult of Trump, we're in an age where there is psychological warfare going on by state actors such as Russia, China, Iran, ISIS, just to name a few, who would like to see America's demise and we would like to see America's influence wane. And so they want to sow division. They want to infiltrate different areas of Americans' special interests and goad them to hate other Americans, to the point where even within families, people aren't talking to each other because one's a Trump supporter, one's a hates Trump, etc. And I've been saying all along for 40 years, if you're dealing with people involved with authoritarian cultism, the last thing you want to do is call them names or tell them they're in a cult or that they're brainwashed. And what you want to do is find common ground with them and love them and be respectful. And here's the secret, which is really not a secret, but the secret weapon to help people wake up from mind control cults is respectful questions. Like, tell me, Tony, I'm really curious. How did you come to believe what you're believing right now? Help me step into your shoes and really listen to what they're saying, because there are patterns of all authoritarian cults, whether they're commercial cults or religious cults or political cults or cults of personality even. The commonalities all are that they want to take away people's free will. They want obedience and dependency. They want to exploit them for power, money, or sex. And deep down, my experience with human beings is they don't like to be lied to and they don't like to be exploited. And at the point that they realize it, they get really upset and then they exit.
I'd like to remind you that you're listening to I'll Look Into It with Tony Yang. Today, we're talking about cults with author Stephen Hassan. Anthony Scaramucci famously likened Trump supporters to a cult, and your newest book entitled The Cult of Trump addresses that. So what are some of the features and hallmarks of the cult of Trump?
Yeah, so Anthony is only one of many former insiders. Omarosa also described it as a cult. Michael Cohen described it as a cult. Lev Parnas more recently described it as a cult. And even Joe Walsh, the Tea Party ex-congressman, recently wrote an op-ed calling it the cult of Trump. So in my book, what I realized when I started the book, what was clear to me is that Trump had the stereotypical profile of other cult leaders, and that is malignant narcissism. So, and I had done interviews about this, the grandiosity, the seeking attention, the lack of empathy, the world is about them and not about anyone else, failure to take responsibility or accountability for anything that goes wrong, pathological lying, paranoia, inability to trust. So you can go down the, and I do in chapter 3, the whole list of these things and give examples of Donald Trump and compare him with Jim Jones, Sun Myung-moon, my former cult leader, Hubbard of Scientology and others. So it's a very strong case that this is not a healthy human being who's in the White House, and that we can count on him not to uphold his oath to the Constitution and his allegiance to the American people. But it's all about him, power, money, and sex. So that's part of the cult equation. But the other part of the equation is who's manipulating him and funding him, and who are his true believers? And I want to state categorically that I do not think that everyone who voted for Trump is in the Trump cult, because there were a lot of people who voted for Trump because they didn't like Hillary or because they wanted someone who seemed to be a change agent. And so there were a lot of different motivations. I can also tell you the research is that if you tend to vote Republican, you vote Republican, and then you justify whoever's on the ticket and rationalize it. Or if you always vote Democratic, it's the same type of groupthink rather than analyzing case by case what is the person representing. So there's, but getting into the heart of my thesis, I think there's overwhelming evidence that Putin has been influencing Trump for many, many years, and it's evidenced by his behavior, his siding with Putin over 17 intelligence agencies that said that Russia influenced the elections, the fact that six of Trump's advisors are in jail right now because they were lying or doing unethical things with Russia. But then I get into the religious right, which people need to understand. Groups like Opus Dei, which is a Catholic right-wing group that apparently Attorney General Barr is involved with. A group called The Family that Michael Pence was recruited into by former Watergate plumber Chuck Colson. And he brought into the cabinet a whole bunch of family people. And I would direct your listeners to either Jeffrey Charlotte's books on this cult, or there's a Netflix docuseries called The Family. If you want the visual, you could get the skivvy on The Family. Then there's a group of cults that go under the title, the heading of New Apostolic Reformation. And these are many mega churches as well as small little micro churches where the leader claims to be an apostle or a prophet getting direct revelations from God. They're very demon-centered and they cast out demons and do faith healing. Some of them will speak in tongues. And they have a belief that God is using Trump as like a King Cyrus figure to get rid of gays and get rid of liberal ideas like women should be in control of their bodies and to get rid of all of these enemies of white Christianity that are invading our country. So I can go on and on, but there are all these special interest cults that are all being manipulated. And unfortunately, through social media with Rush Limbaugh, with Alex Jones, Breitbart, Fox News, there's a whole media ecosystem designed at disinformation and just blind faith in Trump. And the heck with evidence and the heck with our laws. And I just want to take a minute, if I may, Tony, to just talk about fourth generation warfare, because this was a new concept. It was developed in the 80s by a American military strategist, William Lind, who paired up with a Christian right-wing man, Paul Weyrich. And essentially, unlike other warfare where you're shooting bombs, this is psychological warfare. And instead of it just being propaganda to persuade the other side that your side is better, this is warfare to delegitimize leaders, delegitimize institutions, delegitimize the idea of truth or facts, to sow confusion, to sow disorientation, and to create a state where people get numb. They get hopeless, learned helplessness, and they check out so that they don't want to be involved with voting, for example, or political campaigning. And this fourth generation warfare is being done from outside the U.S. on American citizens, certainly by Russia, but I truly believe Iran is doing it and China is doing it and ISIS is doing it as well as others. But it's being done from within our country by our own citizens, because there's this group of dominionists who want to take over the government, change the legal system, And the most scary thing that Trump has done is put in all of these judges, many of whom are not qualified, put two people in the Supreme Court that are aligned with this right-wing radical point of view. And it's very, very worrisome for me for the future, even if Trump is defeated in November.
And the stakes of this election are particularly high, which has me worried when you write that the human mind is not particularly rational. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah. So, and I should say I entered a doctoral program at age 63 because I realized after 40 years of activism that nothing was really changing and people were still ignorant. And I realized the legal system is using a 100-year-old concept for the law that we're rational agents and you become 18 and then you're capable of making your own decisions, even if they're bad ones. And the overwhelming social psychology and neuroscience says we're not rational. A book that I would recommend for anyone who's interested in this is Daniel Kahneman's book, Thinking Fast and Slow. Daniel won a Nobel Prize in behavioral economics. And he's a psychologist, and he did research with Amos Tversky, who unfortunately passed away, so he couldn't get the Nobel with him. But they showed that we have an unconscious mind that is operating on unconscious models or heuristics to make decisions, and that rarely, but we do, have system two thinking where we're using our rational minds, our analytic minds, to actually evaluate data. I was listening to a podcast a couple of days ago. I'm going to give you a quick example of how there's a bias towards avoiding a negative in social psychology, and how football coaches, if it's third and two, they will punt the ball almost always, even if they're on their own 30-yard line or 40-yard line or 50-yard line. When the data says overwhelmingly, go for the fourth down, you know, push, you keep possession of the ball. The data overwhelmingly says you're going to be more successful than not, but they have this unconscious bias and fear of messing up. So that's just one tiny example that we're not rational. We're rationalizing. We'll do a behavior and then we'll come up with a story of why we do. How come you bought, you know, Crest? Oh, you know, it's, you know, this and this and this. And it's like, no, you watched the commercial, you know, an hour ago before you went to the store, and it had a pretty blonde, or it had, you know, a doctor that you identified with, or a guy dressed up as a doctor was an actor.
Yeah, I try to to cover my purchasing behavior sometimes as rational, by saying it's the cheapest, but that very seldom is the case, as you pointed out. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you always buy generics, right?
Right.
You always buy generics if you're rational.
And I'm sorry, we're all out of time. We've been talking to Stephen Hassan. Stephen is a mental health professional who has been helping people leave destructive cults since 1976, after he was deprogrammed from Sungbyung Moon's Unification Church by his family. He directs the Freedom of Mind Resource Center, a counseling and publishing organization outside Boston, Massachusetts. He teaches at Harvard Medical School and is pursuing a doctorate at Fielding University. He is the author of four books, Combating Cult Mind Control, Releasing the Bonds, and Freedom of Mind, Helping Loved Ones Leave Controlling Cults, Cults and Beliefs, and his latest book, The Cult of Trump. Hassan was featured in Leah Remini's Scientology and the Aftermath and has appeared on CNN, NPR, 60 Minutes, Dateline, and more. As usual, our producer is Clark Price. Our engineer is Elliot Fong. Tune in next time for more. I'll look into it, and thank you for listening.